So, when you were growing up, about the time you were reaching, say, puberty or whatever, had your mother explained anything to you about menses or...
I don't remember her explaining anything, but by me being the fifth child, mm-hmm. my sister did.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions I wanted to ask, I just asked them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was no big thing, and I soon found out if you have sex with this man, I thought, I had it in my mind, any man you have sex with, your child going to look like all these different men.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. And I said, not me. So, so I said, no, no, I'm not going to get no ugly one.
Uh-huh.
So I just, that just, that was out of the game right away. I soon discovered that that wasn't what I want.
Mm-hmm. When you, like when you first started your, say had your first period or whatever, did your, had your sisters already explained?
Yeah, they'd already explained it to me, it was going to happen and so forth and so on. I was 13
uh-huh.
on the 19th of January.
So you remember?
I remember the date.
Uh-huh.
That's also the day my brother died, on the 19th of January.
Hmm. Now, was he, so did that happen when he was still living with your family? Or?
No, we were all grown. He, just, uh-huh. he died in 19, but it was 65, I think, 63.
So that didn't happen, that happened later
on? Yeah, later on.
Uh-huh.
It just happened the same day.
Did, so you had grown up in this sort of rural area, farming area.
Yes, I did.
And the one town that you had gone to Tyler was the only one that, that you'd been in outside of?
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
The only one I'd lived in.
Uh-huh. And you decided that you wanted to go to Los Angeles?
Yes, I decided I want to better my conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Better my working condition, so someone suggested Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. In the time when you were living in Texas and say high school and college age, did you do what kinds of things did you do for social?
Well, we would go to the picture show, and we would let me see what else. They always had a dance there for you,
mm-hmm.
and. Just social gatherings. You probably have an idea of whatever happens around a college. It's the same thing there. Is it, you know, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different little clubs that have this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always entertainment. And then out in the little rural community where we used to live, they used to have a dance at night or something like that. You know, on a Saturday night or something, they give a dance, especially in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
and in the fall of the year. So that was mostly our recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And we always went swimming down in the creek. Everybody had an old swimming hole.
Mm-hmm.
So we go down there and play, and we usually have a picnic once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was some of our entertainment, too.
Did you, when you were... in college, and you mentioned that you were in clubs and things, what kinds of things were interested you besides home economics?
That was just my field. Anything that was in home economics, I was for it. But I also liked agriculture. I didn't mind farming. Farming was fine. I sort of went along with that, too, because I did have chickens. When I grew up, I had my own chickens and my own cow, my own pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to raise them and, you know, the chores behind that. So I took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that provided, you know, you could sell a cow in those days, a calf, $15, and that was good money.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of survived on that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much, but it helped a lot, you know. It would go a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had to wash somebody. I could do a little washing instead of babysitting. See, nowadays kids babysit. Well, I would do a little washing.
Mm-hmm.
That was my job, was washing. I always wash for somebody.
So you were working at those kinds of things in addition to whatever else you were doing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Then, so how old were you when you decided that California was where you wanted to be?
20. Mm-hmm. And then I had to wait till I was 21, I told myself, so I saved up my money. And then till I was 21, and I was 21 in January, and I left in August.
Okay.
To come.
That would have been about 1930.
40.
1940, right.
Mm-hmm.
Adding the years. When you were going through the depression there in Texas, what kinds of ways did it affect you and your family? Besides, you mentioned that it was hard to get the money together for clothing.
That was after school. We didn't suffer. That was the strangest thing about it. My brother was working from 1926 until he quit his job and left to go to Houston in 1934.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from 1926, I'll say, to 1934, we didn't suffer really and truly. We just suffered the facts that it was everything else was down and out. But my brother was steady working, and I think he was at that time, which doesn't sound like very much, he was making $50 a month, which doesn't sound like very much money, but it was then.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough to get us by.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's living on a farm, you know, we had quite a bit to carry us through. We had the milk and the butter,
mm-hmm.
and the chickens and the cow and the hogs and things. So we needed very little that we had to survive on. And my mother was still doing these little washings. Maybe, Alice said maybe she's making $4 a week, and that wasn't bad. So we could make it on that. But the time that I really struck it bad was about 36, see, 36, 37, about 38.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the three hardest times right through there.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother left home in 34, at last of 34, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it was the spring, maybe it was the spring of 35, I think he must have quit his job and decided he'd go to Houston to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that was chaos, because he went down there and couldn't do any good. So he stayed down there a while and bummed around and never could get anything going. Then he finally decided to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He came back home, must have came back home in 37 or 38, something like that, and stayed a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then they decided it was time to leave the country and go back and try again. So then he left the country and came back to stay with my sister in another little small town in Madisonville. He stayed there and piddled around a while. But by that time, I had moved to California then.
Mm-hmm. So those years before you came to California really were the ones that were real.
Yeah, those were the hard years, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to California originally? How did you travel?
Oh, I came on a bus, on the Greyhound bus.
Uh-huh.
I bought me a... It was real cute. I bought me a one-way ticket, and I talked to myself, you know, Negroes can talk to themselves and make their bodies do what they want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to myself and told myself, now you're going to California, and it's going to be a lonely place. You're going to be out there with total strangers. So I did. My mother had a half-sister, and she wrote and told her. I wrote her a letter first, and she didn't know anything about me, so she didn't answer my letter, but she wrote told my mama to write a letter, so my mama wrote a letter, and she answered my mama's letter, but she said she didn't know me. She didn't know this woman, so she told her sister about it. And her sister says, oh, yes, I remember her. She stayed with us when you was a little girl or something like that. So then she said, well, told me to come on then, and I did. I'll never forget it. I rode the bus. I got on here to the bus station on 6th in Los Angeles. And I got off the bus, and I walked around, got off the bus to sit down. And I saw this woman sitting there. And I didn't dare recognize her because she looked like a Mexican. And I says, I'm sick of Mexicans. Because, see, coming through Arizona and all, that's all I've seen. And I wasn't used to sick of Mexicans. So I got up and sat over somewhere else, you know. And then this woman got up. I saw her, and she got up and walked over there to me. And she says, are you Fanny? Oh, I could have fainted because
mm-hmm.
I had already passed her up and, you know, and just, you know, crossed her out.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a total stranger to me, but we got along fine. And I was just like I don't know what you would call it, just like a sunshine or something in her life. She was on the welfare when I came out here, but I got me a job and went in service working. And then she decided, well, if she could go do that, I'll do that. And first thing I knew, my aunt was off of welfare. She'd gotten herself a job and gone to work. She was renting. She turns around, buy her a house and pay for it in no time. She just got up from there and just, you know, just worked out. It just looked like seeing me just made her get up and go to work and mm-hmm. do things. I was inspiration. I inspired her, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And so she sure did, you know, get up from there and do well by herself.
Now, yeah. When you had come out, that was, she was really the only person in Los Angeles that you
yes.
knew at that time.
At that time, yes. Uh-huh.
Where was she living?
She was living over on Vernon Avenue, over on the east side, I suppose you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came out and I stayed with her, she had a husband, and she had a lot of cats. I was not accustomed to cats in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I just did, a cat and a dog. And she had a very small little place. The room was about as big as this. And then it was a bathroom over there and a kitchen over there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as large as these two rooms by no means.
Mm-hmm.
And so I slept here on a couch, and her bed was over there, and there was a little hole in there for the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen was very small, but I stayed there, and I never complained because I was doing better. That's what I told myself. And my sister came out about 10 months later, and then we got us a place together and stayed, and we worked and fumbled around. Then I decided that I wanted to get married, and looking at the boys here in California, they wasn't what I thought I wanted. So I had a boyfriend back in Texas, so I went back to Texas and married him and stayed there for about 8 or 9 months. Then he went into service and I came back.
And what was his name?
Joseph Hill.
Uh-huh. And you had you knew him from before?
Yeah, I knew him before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been knowing him 6 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and married him. He went into service. I came back out here, and then he got out of the service. And with that, then that's when we start. Well, I was working in North America by then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we get up to the point where you were working mm-hmm. in North America, when you had come out here by yourself, I was wondering if you felt any, I know that during that period in Los Angeles, a lot of people were moving to California. Did you ever feel any resentment or distance from people who had been here?
Not necessarily so, not too much, because I'll tell you what the story was. You know, believe it or not, Negroes and white people do work under different circumstances, and their value of things is quite a bit different. The average Negro that came out from Texas or came out from the South when he came out here, they, and the people had been here a long time, they didn't have as much as going for them as the people that came out here. Just like me, I was determined to buy me a house when I came out here. I wasn't accustomed to renting.
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't know what that was, a landlord, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he come and telling you what you can't do. I hadn't heard of such things as that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that was something I didn't know, you know, existed. So my first thought was to get me a house.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing my sister and I got together on and bought a house, so I wouldn't have to run into those type of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I always seem to have been a type of person that always have had something going for me. Just like I say, I could sew. And whenever I could sew, I always could do something to make you look good or make you look pretty or something. So I didn't have time for a lot of evil thoughts, I guess, or whatever you have in mind, too. And I'm not very much of a churchgoer, either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those religious people that believes in getting dressed every Sunday to go to church. So I spent my time doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go a lot, so when I first came to California, when I'd have my day off, I'd go to the parks and to the beach and museum and just whatever there was to see. I'd just go sightseeing up and down the street, walk in and look in the windows, mm-hmm. window shop, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I spent a lot of time doing.
Had your family been very religious when you were growing up?
No, my mother was not religious at all
mm-hmm.
because she said it was too many hypocrites in the church. Mm-hmm. So she didn't insist that we go, but we did read the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So when you came to Los Angeles, when you would go on these outings, would you just do those by yourself?
No, sometimes my aunt would go along with me, or I'd find another girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had a sister pretty soon. You know, she was out here by the time I was out here 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
Then it didn't less than that, because I came in August and she came in April, so
mm-hmm.
pretty close.
Los Angeles was still a bigger city, though, that it sounds like, than you had been used to.
Oh, yes, it was a large city, and I adjusted to it real well. It didn't take me long to find a way about it, because I did read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew how to get around, and I knew how to stay out of danger and not take too many chances.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever read, I know that at that time in Los Angeles there was a black community newspaper called The Eagle.
Yes, I did. I read The Eagle, and I still get the Sentinel now once in a while. I have to get it to keep up with what the black people are doing.
Uh-huh. So you were reading the papers when you were out here?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I sure did.
Uh-huh. Did
And I used to read them when I was a child back home. That's what gave me a big idea. I used to read a little paper called Kansas City Call.
Uh-huh.
And they had a Pittsburgh Courier that the Negroes read all the time. So that was, I did. That's how I learned about a lot of reading, was from this college. See, they have those papers in the library, so you just go there and read them.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to worry about buying them, see.
Mm-hmm. Did, I was going to ask you that about that before. When you were at this college, since it was a black college, did you learn things about black history? And
yes, we did. I learned a lot about black history.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, naturally that was taught.
Mm-hmm. Before, so you came out here with what kind of ideas did you have about what might happen when you got to Los Angeles?
I didn't have, I had a positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any, I had no bad thoughts at all, none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I would make it, so I was so determined until whatever I would do, I was going to do it good,
mm-hmm.
do it well, and I was going to excel in it. I was going to make it because I had to make it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no turning around.
Mm-hmm.
I had left and I was interested in, I wanted to better my condition. That's what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm. Now you said you went, how long was it when you were here before you were able to find a place to work?
Well, when I first came to California, I had, when I met my aunt met me down in the station, I had less than $10.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I went on to her house and stayed in, I think, less than 10 days. I had found a job working, living on the place, doing domestic work.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that job, and I stayed there from August, sometime in August, until Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making $35 a month. That was so much better than what I was making at home. At home, I was only making $3 a week, which was $12 a month,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of that $12, I had to pay some kind of a rent, and I just can't remember what.
Mm. You were paying rent in addition to everything else?
That's right, I was paying rent. I don't know how much. I think it must have been a dollar. I suppose it must have been a dollar a week for a room. I just assumed that must have been what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, but as I said, I always sewed on the side, see. So I always made a little money sewing. So sometime I would make, maybe I might make $3 a week sewing. And so that would balance off with the other. So I always had that little kickback coming. But when I first came to California, I had less than $10 after I got off the bus. And then since I've been here, I have never been that low before,
mm-hmm.
since. I've always had, I never let myself drop that low. But I was determined to stay and make it. I had to pay for the little job. I got, I think it was about $350.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there, and I saved my money, and I bought everybody that I wanted to back home a Christmas present in Centertown. Oh, I was the happiest thing in the world. And I bought it at Sears.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to Sears in Westwood and bought my Christmas shopping. And I sent my mother and my four sisters, three sisters, and my brother. And it's two or three ladies or something that I liked back home. I sent them something. So I was real happy.
Mm-hmm. And you were making $35 a month?
Yes.
This stuff?
Yes.
Who did you work for?
I worked for someone named Keating.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for the Examiner. That's as far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. And did they live far from where you
lived? Yeah, they lived in, yes, I had the, they lived in Westwood. I almost remember the house number, but I can't remember it now. It was some fives. I don't know if it was 5515 or 1555.
Mm-hmm.
Mansville, that's where I worked. And I'd go out, I had every Thursday off and every other Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that just killed me to have to work on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I told myself I wasn't going to cry because I was coming out to do better, and I would do better sooner or later. So Christmas time come, I found me another job where I could come home at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the Ravenswood Hotel. That's where Mae West lived. And she's still there today.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Mae West. I saw her several times.
Mm-hmm.
She'd always ride the servants' elevator. She never would ride the elevator for the paid people of the house. So I stayed there. I don't know how long I stayed there. I must have stayed there 4 or 5 months or something like that. And I was working for some people. They was from Texas also.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two girls, and one of them got married while I was there. And I left that job, and I was working as a waitress in a little old cafe down on Central Avenue. And I didn't like that job too well either. So I stayed there a little while, and I quit it.
That was the first time you'd done waitressing?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I discovered I didn't like it too hot. I didn't like the people I was working for. Being a waitress was all right, but the people I was working for, I didn't care for them. They were black people.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't care for them.
Mm-hmm.
I had let that go. So,
when you worked for the man who worked for the Examiner, what kinds of things, that was a live-in? Job?
Yes, a live-in job.
Uh-huh. And what for the $35 a month? What kinds of things would you have to?
I had to cook breakfast, serve. They had a man and a wife and four kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the smallest ones was twins, and they wasn't the too old. They had a nurse that took care of the twins.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wash and iron, clean the house, and cook.
Mm-hmm.
That was my job. So all day, practically, you know, and I had very little time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't very nice people. They were just plain white people that had finally got them some money or something like that. But they weren't nice. They really was not nice. They just somebody. And, you know, and I was such an outspoken person. So when I finally quit, he was mad because I quit. I came home one Sunday and somebody told me about a job, and I went and looked for it and got it. And when I came back Monday morning, it was payday. He should have paid me because it was the end of my pay time, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
like, which doesn't make any difference. You know, you quit a job whenever you get ready. You don't quit the payday necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, and I never complained. Oh, I never complained. You thought I loved that job, the way
yeah.
I worked. I put everything into it. I did everything nice, just like you're supposed to do. And there was never no complaint or anything, and you thought I loved that job. But that was always been my trick, that I'll never complain about anything. I'll be just as nice to you to the very last minute, and then when the time comes, I will just say, boom, I don't want to work for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was mad with me, and he asked me, he said something to me about working. And I used to fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In my household, I didn't tell you that there was very little fighting going on, very little lick passing, no fisticuffing. Mm-hmm. And so when I got them, they kind of got loud and talking too loud for me, and I wasn't accustomed to that. So and he said, well, I don't know why you quit, or this or that, or that, or what, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I didn't like the idea. You know, you guys had a fight here not too long ago. And I saw blood in there on somebody's clothes or something like that, and I wasn't used to that, so I had to. But he says, well, that was our business. I said, yeah, but I'm living in the house with you. I didn't know when you was going to run in my room. So he was mad at me for that. And I said, well, that's why I didn't like it, because you was getting in there too loud and talking, so I didn't care for that. I really didn't. I didn't think that was necessary. I wasn't accustomed to that. You know, there's some things you're really not accustomed to. You don't know what happened or how it happened or something, so you just don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like the idea of staying out there at night. That was my main problem. I thought I was supposed to come home to my own bed. Mm-hmm.
So you had to stay in their house and never really felt...
Never really felt too good, no.
Yeah.
You know how that is. You just really don't feel good in the other person's house. Not under those conditions.